And let me give you a little bit of an introduction before we go through what we're studying tonight. Many times, one of the most profitable things that you can have or do is an example from somebody about how something is supposed to work or how you're supposed to do something. And when you see what it is supposed to be like, then that gives you the incentive to become whatever you're trying to do or do what you're trying to do. So whether it is in a sporting event or some skill that you're trying to acquire, if you see someone do it, a lot of times that really helps you. It's kind of like looking at the picture on the front of a puzzle box. When you know what the picture is, a lot of times it's easier to put the puzzle together. And so this morning we were looking at resources for the reconciled and just the simple topic of prayer and some of the basic things that we have to include in prayer. And tonight what I want to do is I want to try to just paint a picture of somebody who applies this and somebody who would be the pinnacle of applying prayer. At the same time would be one that you and I would look at and say, why does he need to pray? And of course that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is Jesus, who is God in human flesh. And as God in human flesh, why does he need to pray to his heavenly Father? Well, why would Jesus have to take the time to pray? It would seem to us, from a human standpoint and from a very logical standpoint, that really Jesus, God himself, doesn't need to take the time to do that. And I'll tell you, there isn't an answer as to why he prays. We can come up with, in our speculation, reasons that he would pray, but there's not a singular answer to, oh, here's why Jesus prayed. One of the things that we would clearly say, though, is that it was an example to us. There's one passage we'll read tonight where Jesus is clearly praying because he wants people to hear him praying. He actually says that. I'm going to pray because I want the people around me to hear me praying. And I want them to know that my dependence is on my Heavenly Father. But the other thing that always strikes me, and I know that a lot of the things that we'll say tonight are not new things. These are things that you're aware of, but I think they're things that I need to be reminded of and things that you need to be reminded of. And it's this idea. If Jesus Christ himself felt like he needed to pray while he's in human flesh, who else needs to pray? I do. You do. There is no person that can ever come to the place where they feel like they have achieved spiritually to the place where they do not need to spend time talking to their Heavenly Father. And anytime someone comes to the place where they feel like they don't need to pray, or they don't have this dependence upon God to pray, then that person has moved beyond Christ himself, and that's obviously a very dangerous position. And so what I want you to do this evening is I have eight passages that we're going to turn to, and in these eight passages, we're not going to look at them in tremendous detail. We're going to look specifically for things that tell us about the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are some things that if we were painting a picture, making a description of Jesus and his prayer life, what would we say about that particular passage? What does it teach us about Jesus' prayer life as we paint that picture and we say, here's the model for us about how we ought to pray and what we ought to do in prayer? And so to get that started, let's turn to the first one, and that is Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. And I'm a big believer that we need to make sure that we set the context of every verse. We don't want to pull verses out of context. This one we don't really have a problem with. But if you were to put it in context, I have the Bible. I have to go by memory a little bit. It doesn't have the outline in it as much as some of the others. But Jesus is deeply involved in ministry. He's called his disciples, and then he's done a miracle. And if I remember right, it is one where he heals Peter's mother-in-law. And then he talks about the sower sowing, and he's very involved in ministry. And when you come over to verse 26, he says, the kingdom of heaven is as a man, as if a man should cast seed onto the ground. And he goes on and he teaches a lesson. And as he teaches that lesson, then you come to verse 30. And he says, whereunto then shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what shall we compare it? It's like a grain of mustard seed. And so he's teaching this lesson. And as he teaches this lesson, then you realize that he is busy. You put together some of the other Gospels and you realize that Jesus is many times up late and he's up early and he's really involved and he's busy in his life. But then we come to verse 35, and it's really, as far as we can tell, one of the first verses. There will be one other that tells us that he prayed, but this is one of the first verses that really focuses on his personal prayer life, is in verse 35. It says, "In the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over to the other side. And when he had sent away the multitude, they took him..." Am I in the right place? Because that's not the verse that I'm looking for. There's a verse that says that he went out and prayed in the morning. Does anybody see that one? I've got a wrong reference there. Chapter 1, verse 35? Ha! There we go. Chapter 1, verse 35. That will work a whole lot better. So chapter 1, verse 35, and that does actually work a whole lot better, because I was thinking this is right after Jesus has healed Peter's mother-in-law, and that's right. If you look at verse 29, it talks about Jesus going in to Peter's mother-in-law, Simon's wife's mother, lay sick of the fever. And so he's been very busy in ministry. He's healed people, and it would seem after he healed Peter's mother-in-law, there were other people that came to him. He healed people late into the night. Then we come to the verse that I'm looking for, which is verse 35. And it says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day," or rising up while it was still dark, "he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." All right, now, you help me out a little bit tonight. If we were to begin to develop a picture of the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ, what are some of the things that we would pick out from this verse? There are a couple of things that we could say. What's the first one that you would pick out? Aaron? Yeah, it's clearly, it almost emphasizes this, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day," getting up a long time before daylight, "he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." So here is the Lord Jesus, and I'm going to simply title it that Jesus Christ has his morning prayer time. That for some reason he felt like he needed to get up that day and he needed to go out and spend some time. Now, there are two other things that I see as characteristic here, but not characteristic of all prayer, but they describe the prayer life of the Lord Jesus in this particular instance. What else do we find in there? Yeah, he was by himself. He went into a solitary place. And then the third thing that I see is there he prayed. It was the time that he spent talking to the Heavenly Father. And so he takes the time to get up early in the morning and go out into a place by himself and talk to his Heavenly Father, get alone with his Heavenly Father and talk to him. This is the first part of the picture that we paint of the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, does he do this every day? Not that we know of. There is a chance that he would, spend some time every morning praying, but it doesn't say that. It says that, though, that there is clearly a time, and this is early in his ministry, very early in his ministry, that he knows that he's got some things going on, and he gets up and he prays. Now, one other thing that I want to point out in this, and that is, I laid the groundwork in this because Jesus Christ was apparently up late the night before. And in spite of that, he got up early the next day. You know, you go on to verse 36, and there's another interesting facet of this. In verse 36 it says, "And Simon and they that were with him followed after him," or they hunted for him is the idea. It's not that they got up early and went with him at that time, but they got up and said, "Where's the Lord Jesus Christ?" And in verse 37, "When they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee," or everyone's looking for you. And then he goes on and he says, "We've got to go to some other towns and do some ministry there." But when the disciples come to him, it's almost as if they come to him and they say, what are you doing out here? You've got ministry that you need to be doing. You've got things that you need to be accomplishing. Why are you out here by yourself in this solitary place and praying? We have things to do. And obviously the disciples do not have the same level of priority in Jesus' prayer life that he has. He has established this as something that he feels is very important for that day in particular, and I think it sets a precedent for his ministry that he knows that there is lots for him to do. There is all kinds of work that he needs to be involved in. He has people that are going to need to be healed. He has disciples that he's going to have to train. He has a religious crowd he's going to have to come in conflict with and refute their teachings. But one of the things that this verse has always done for me is it's always convicted me that even if I have a whole lot going on, even if I've got a boatload of things that are happening that day, there is a point that I need to say, I need to go apart and I need to spend time talking to the Lord on that particular day in order to be effective in these ministry things. So here's the first of the paint strokes, the brush strokes in the painting that we'll make of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go over just a little bit further, and hopefully I'm correct on these. Chapter 6 it will give us another picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in his prayer life. And again, as we go through, this is obviously he's chosen his 12 disciples, and in chapter 4 we were talking about the parable of the sower. He cast out demons in chapter 5 and deals with the woman with the issue of blood. And as he comes to chapter 6, Jairus' daughter there that is raised from the dead. And then you have John the Baptist is beheaded in this chapter, and they come and tell the Lord Jesus about him. And Jesus says there's not a greater disciple than John the Baptist. And then as you come toward the end of the chapter, you come down let's pick it up at verse 45. In verse 45, it says, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the boat and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. So here's the picture. He has his disciples with him. He's been busy in ministry. He loads his disciples, his helpers, onto the boat, and he sends them to the other side of the lake. And then he dismisses the people. And I don't know how he does that, but he said, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to dismiss the people. And then notice the next verse. When you come to chapter 6, verse 46. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. So he finished all of his ministry, and then he does the same thing. Now, what are some things that you would say are part of building the picture of Jesus' prayer life in this one? And some are redundant. What are some things that we see again? What is the time of this prayer? What do you see here? Anything that you can help build a picture of Jesus' prayer life? Pastor Stewart? Yes. Yeah, there's been a tremendous amount of ministry that's gone on, and then he prays. Todd?
It just seems to me, as I read this, that he planned this. He planned prayer.
That, yes. Yeah, that is one of the things that I'm looking for in this. There was an intentional time to pray. Now, I'm going to put this up here as evening. We had morning, and I'm going to put this down as evening. We know that Jesus Christ has gone through his day of ministry. And in this day of ministry, it's been busy, it's been crowded, it's been a very active day. And then he decides, he plans, I need to pray. And so it doesn't say that he does this every day, but here is clearly an incident where Jesus Christ said, I need to take some time to pray. He purposefully decided to do this. I'm going to go apart, and here's the redundant part, I need to get by myself and spend some time with my Heavenly Father. Now, we come back to the same thing that we talked about before. If Jesus Christ needed to do that, who else needs to do that? Well, every one of us does. And I wonder sometimes if the reason that we get so frustrated and have such difficulty in dealing with the things that God puts us through in our life, I wonder if one of the reasons that we have such a struggle to deal with that is because we don't take the time to do the very thing that the Lord Jesus Christ is doing here. That He dismisses, He intentionally says, I want my friends to leave. I want those who are with me in ministry, I want you to go away. And I want people who are in need, I'm going to leave you for a little bit because I have a focus on myself at this point. I need to spend some time with my Father in order to handle the things that God is going to put into my path. And I think that's critical. I think that's one of those things that you and I need to recognize that Jesus Christ does. And it behooves us to follow the pattern of doing that as well when we know that there's some things coming up that are going to be really weighing heavy on us and they're going to be active. All right, let's keep going in this. Let's go from the book of Mark. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. In Luke chapter 3, we have a completely different scenario. And it's very possible that this happened before the passage in Mark chapter 6. The one in Mark chapter 1, it's possible that this is after. We don't know exactly what the timetable is on this, but this one probably happened before. But we have Jesus praying in the morning, and we have Him praying in the evening. I'm going to put another one in here because it's in the order as we're studying things. Go to chapter 3 and go down to verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, or while He was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon Him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in Thee I am well pleased. Now I've put this in here for two reasons. I'm going to call this a public prayer. This is Jesus Christ praying very publicly. You probably will remember much of the story. John the Baptist is baptizing. Jesus Christ comes to him and says, I want to be baptized. John is very hesitant to do that. But he says, I want you to baptize me, and so John does. When Jesus comes up out of the water, Luke gives us some additional detail that some of the others don't give us. Luke says, not instantly did the Holy Spirit as a dove come down upon him, but he says in verse 21, it came to pass, Jesus also being baptized. And then the tense here is important, and it doesn't really come across as well in the King James Version. It would really be, and while he was praying, the heavens were opened. And so as Jesus is baptized, apparently there is this point while he was praying. Jesus comes up, and it would seem to me that in a very public way, he's looking to heaven and he's talking to God his Father. And as he talks to God his Father, the heavens are opened. We don't know what he said there. We don't know whether it was just a few words. We don't know whether it was a longer prayer. We have no idea what he said. But here is Jesus Christ talking to his heavenly Father, and while he's praying, the heavens were opened. And after the heavens were opened, after all that has taken place, the Holy Ghost descends in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. There is some sense that they can see this. And then here's what I love about this. And then there's the voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now remember, we've talked about prayer. The prayer is not some kind of a mystical, highly regulated thing that only a handful of people are able to do. Prayer is simply talking to our Heavenly Father. And here's a case where Jesus talks to His Heavenly Father, and when He finishes talking to His Heavenly Father, who talks back? His Father. Now, He doesn't talk to Jesus necessarily. He talks to the people who are around. But here's a good picture of prayer. Jesus Christ is speaking to His Father, and the Father is listening. And that's what happens in our prayer life. Here's this time in public where Jesus Christ is addressing His Heavenly Father, and the Father hears Him, the heavens open, the Holy Spirit comes down, and that God whom He was addressing now speaks back to Him. That's what prayer is. It's us talking to God, knowing that our Heavenly Father is listening to us. Now, keep your finger in Luke. Most of you will be able to find it. But I want to take out of order here, John chapter 11. And let's turn over there because this is another public prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I mentioned this one. This is the one time that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to say, I'm praying not simply because I need to pray, but because I want people to hear me praying. I want them to know upon whom I have dependence. Chapter 11 is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's the raising of Lazarus. And by the time you get to the end of the chapter, a man who has been dead is now the reason that people are coming and they're asking who this Lord Jesus Christ is. When you come to verses 41 and verse 42, Jesus Christ has come to the graveside. He's talked to Martha and Mary. And as he's addressed them and said, you know, you all have to believe. In verse 41, it says, and they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, now here's prayer. Remember, this is what we're talking about. Prayer is not a specific time. It's not a specific formula. It's not specific words. It's talking with your Heavenly Father. And I like the terminology here. Because when we talk about postures in prayer, while Jesus is standing there, all the people are watching him, it says he lifted up his eyes unto heaven and looked into heaven. And he said, Father. He addresses his Heavenly Father. And he specifically says, there's some things that I want to do in this prayer. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. Wow, what a statement. Here's Jesus Christ's philosophy of prayer. I know that every time I have prayed, every time I have talked to my Heavenly Father, he's heard me. And I know that you're listening to me today as I pray. I know that. This is not a question in my mind, but here's the philosophy of Jesus Christ in his prayer. Here's part of his picture. I know that when I talk to God, he hears me. And then he goes on to say in verse 42, I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand around, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He said, I'm stopping to take the time to pray right now, because I want people around me to know that my dependence is on you. I'm going to say a prayer, not because I don't think God's going to hear me when I ask for the miracle to be done, not because I can't go on and say, Lazarus, come forth. But I'm going to pray because I want the people who are around me to see me praying. How many times have you been in a restaurant and you've prayed and you've noticed that there are some people looking at you? Has anybody ever done that? I hope you take the time to just say a simple prayer in a restaurant. Say it together. You'll be amazed at the influence that has on people. I'll often say something to people when I see them praying. I'll just say, hey, I noticed your family prayed. I always love that. I was in Arby's several weeks ago now, and I saw a family pray. And it was clearly, they held hands, they prayed. And I thought, that's wonderful. I didn't get to say anything to that family that day. But what a great thing it is when people see you praying and know this is a person who's talking to their Heavenly Father. But there is some rich theology of prayer in this passage right here. Jesus Christ was saying, I am confident every time I lift my eyes to look into heaven, every time I bow my head and address my Heavenly Father, he's heard me. And I know that when I speak today, he's going to hear me. I don't have any doubts whatsoever about that. And Jesus Christ has clearly established, even up to this point in his ministry, that he has a close relationship with his Heavenly Father. Now, let's back up to Luke again. We were in Mark. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And again, I didn't spend a lot of time on the chronology of this. This one would fit back into the time when we were getting some early information about the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we come to Luke chapter 5. And this one, it's tough to title it. I'm going to give it a title. But here again, we have another idea that fits in the pattern of what Jesus Christ is doing. When we get to chapter 5, the two ships have been out, and they've had their nets out. They're on the shore washing the nets, and Jesus says, "Okay, I want you to take the boats out again," and they do. And after they do, the disciples, of course, realize that it's Jesus Christ, and he says, "I want you to follow me." And then he moves to another city, and there's a man that was full of leprosy, and he puts forth his hand in verse 13 and touches him, and it says immediately the leprosy departed from that man. And then pick it up at verse 14. "And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there the fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear, and to be healed by him of all their infirmities," or of their infirmities. "And he," Jesus, "withdrew himself," and it's interesting, when that's translated in the New American Standard, it says it this way, "and he would often slip away into the wilderness and pray." In the King James it says, "he withdrew himself into the wilderness and he prayed." And I think, you know, probably there's some sense in which this means that he would often do this. This became a pattern. Todd said a minute ago that it seems as though Jesus intentionally does that. Do you see that more now? Here is Jesus Christ, busy day of ministry. A lot of people. A lot of ministry that still needs to be done. A lot of work that still needs to be accomplished. And what does he fit into his schedule? Prayer. And I think I mentioned this morning, one of the things that I'm continually convicted over is that very thing. You and I, for the most part, could stay busy all the time with things to do. And some of them are frivolous things. Some of them are things that we've just gotten into the habit of doing. Some of them are ministry things. There are constantly things to do. Yet Jesus Christ felt it very important to come to the place where he got alone on a regular basis, private prayer. There's public prayer, but there's private prayer that's clearly something that is a part of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sets that pattern. I want you to go on and add to that in chapter 6 something else that we see. In chapter 6, verse 12. Again, we could go through. There's the Sabbath day controversy. And on the Sabbath, he's done some things. He's had to deal with the Pharisees. When he comes to verse 12 of Luke chapter 6, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his 12 disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." Now, here is Jesus Christ one chapter later, and again, we've got the writer pointing out, we've got Luke pointing out, Jesus Christ went out into a mountain and he prayed. He spent some time. This time, he spent all night in prayer. Now, we don't know why he spent all night in prayer for sure, but there is a good indication here. What did he do the next day? He chose his 12 apostles. And it would seem that Jesus Christ, even Jesus Christ, the one who is the Son of God, who is God in human flesh, he has his divinity, he has his humanity. But here is Jesus Christ, knowing what is about to take place, takes the time to come apart from people and pray. Now, we don't know for sure that the impetus of that was picking the apostles, but it certainly seems like that. That he spent extra time in prayer when he had a big event coming. This is huge in the course of the history of humanity. These are the 12 apostles who are going to carry on his work. These are the 12 apostles who for eternity are going to have a place in heaven. And Jesus Christ takes the time to pray about that. And again, I'm often convicted that we need to make sure that we spend time in prayer about some of the things that we are doing. You know, we often, before we were building the activity building, would take the time in an evening service to pray that God would guide us in that. We often will take the time. We've done this with our academy some. We've said we want to spend time in prayer just asking for God's blessing on these things. And I think there's nothing more appropriate than doing that. Here's the pattern that Jesus Christ has. Here's the picture that He paints for us. Let's turn over to chapter 9. Chapter 9. Again, a lot of ministry going on. You've got the parable of the sower, the legion of devils that He cast out. And when you come to chapter 9, we're kind of introduced to the Garden of Gethsemane and some of the places that Jesus prayed. But let's go down to verse 18. Verse 18, and it simply makes this comment. And it came to pass, as Jesus was alone praying, His disciples were with Him. And He asked them, saying, "Whom say people that I am?" Now, I just want you to see in that. Here's another instance where He's praying alone. But apparently, His disciples are within earshot. Now, I don't know. We're going to have another example of that in Gethsemane. They report what He prayed. So they can apparently hear Him praying. But Jesus gets apart and He spends some time praying. But can you see a pattern that's developed in the writers and a pattern that's obvious to those who are observing the life of the Lord Jesus Christ? That pattern is that when Jesus Christ was involved in His ministry, He has clearly determined, I need to spend some time in prayer. I need to spend some time talking with my Heavenly Father. Whether it is the beginning of the day that I'm going to get up early and do it, or whether it's the end of the day after ministry has been completed, or whether I go out because I know I've got this big event coming and I'm going to spend the entire night in prayer, I need to spend some time praying. Let's move forward just a little bit, a passage that we're pretty familiar with, the end of Luke chapter 22. Or the end of Luke in chapter 22. Jesus is at the place where He's facing the crucifixion. They're in the Garden of Gethsemane after He's been in the upper room with them. And when you come to verse 41, it says, He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. Now here's interesting. Jesus postures in prayer. This time He kneels. We don't know if He knelt and he laid on the ground, kind of like we would see a Muslim prayer posture, that kind of prayer, but He knelt in some form. And He has followed the same pattern. He's gone a stone's throw away. He's gotten away from the group, and so He's kneeled down and He's prayed. And verse 42, saying, "Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done." And there appeared an angel unto Him from heaven, strengthening Him. And being in agony, He prayed more earnestly or more fervently. And His sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down on the ground. And when He rose up from prayer and was come to His disciples, He found them sleeping for sorrow. And said unto them, "Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." Well, here's Jesus now at the very end of His life. And again, He knows that there's a massive event coming. He's going to have to face His crucifixion the very next day. He's going to have to withhold from Himself the power to call 10,000 angels and pull Himself out of that situation. He could easily extract Himself from that, but He's not going to. He said, "If it's possible, Lord, I'd sure like to have this cup drawn from Me, but I'm checking this with My Father." And here He is, this man, this God in human flesh, who's now continuing His pattern of prayer. I want to put one more up here, and this is back in the book of John. And I want to turn there, and that's where I want you to finish with me tonight, in John chapter 17. This is a passage that's often studied, and often we take comfort in the fact that Jesus Christ prayed for us in this passage. This was before the Garden of Gethsemane. It would have been before the one that we just read in Luke chapter 22. But in Luke chapter 17 is an intercessory prayer for his disciples and for all the disciples that should follow. But it's simply the beginning, the very first verse of this that I want you to see. It says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, and that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given to him." And then he goes on and he talks about the fact that he's going to give eternal life to many who would follow him. But the first verse tells us that here is Jesus Christ, and it's another brushstroke in this painting that we're putting on the canvas. That Jesus Christ spent a great deal of time in prayer. And in this case, he's looking way into the future. And he's coming to his heavenly Father. And this is in a time when he knows he's going to be sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. Yet Jesus Christ still takes the time to pray for you and for me while he's still here on earth and before he gets to the Garden of Gethsemane. And that pattern of prayer is established for us. Here is how he prays. We have this picture of Jesus Christ praying. And it's not the picture of somebody who said, okay, from 7:05 to 7:10 every morning I'm going to pray. No, Jesus Christ has this pattern of spending time with his heavenly Father. Now, we're going to talk about this a little bit more next week, but I certainly don't think there's anything wrong with you setting aside some time, some very specific time to pray. I do that. I try to set some time aside in the morning and pray. But Jesus Christ establishes for us that he felt like prayer was a critical part of his life. He felt like prayer was something he could not do without. He could not accomplish his ministry without that. And so when we look at that, what we come to is we have to come to the place where we ask ourselves this question. How well does your prayer life stack up? Now, that's almost a foolish question, isn't it? Because nobody's going to say, well, my prayer life stacks up pretty good to the prayer life of Jesus Christ. Well, I don't think we're ever going to get there. I don't think that we would even say that I plan to get there. But I think it does bring us to a point where we need to be convicted about the fact that we put often little emphasis upon prayer in our personal lives. As reconciled believers who want to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to go out and we want to have a culture of evangelism and discipleship. We want to reach people, and we have decided in essence that we're going to do that on our own. Yet when we study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize that he knew he needed to spend time in prayer. He could not handle all of the things that God was going to have for him if he didn't spend time with his heavenly Father. And I really think, I'll tell you what I told you to begin with, I really think that there are times that God puts us through difficult things. God puts you through different things that he'll put other people through. Each of us have different paths to go through. And I think there are times that we have failed to handle it well because we've failed to do what Jesus Christ did. We failed to look at those things and say, wow, this is so momentous that I need to spend time with my heavenly Father. I need to spend some time this morning, or I need to get some time tonight where I can go into a room and pray. I need to have a little bit of time by myself where I can just talk to the heavenly Father. Not this steady stream of words, but where I can come into his presence and I can have the comfort of knowing that he's always heard me when I pray and that he hears me today. And when you begin to paint that kind of a picture of the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ, it gives us the kind of prayer life that we need to have. It helps us see what we're seeking to accomplish. That helps me know what my goal is. And I know that I'm far from that goal. But I know very well that this is one of the resources for a reconciled believer. That when I look at the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what I'm striving for. That's the kind of prayer life that I need to have. Not this rigid counting rosary beads. That's not prayer. But knowing that I can come to my Heavenly Father and he always hears me and he'll hear me when I speak to him today. That's the kind of prayer life I should have. When I come to these occasions where I'm asking God, or I'm getting into ministry where God's going to do something, I need to spend time praying about that. And it's a personal thing. There's corporate prayer, but we need a church of people that know the importance of prayer. If Jesus Christ prayed, there's no doubt that I need to spend time praying. Let's bow for prayer, please. Now, Father, as we've looked at this, we realize that between you and your Son, there was a continual communication, and that Jesus Christ intentionally drew himself away from others so that he could spend time talking to you. And Lord, I pray that as a church family, you'll help us to realize that this is one of the resources that we have. That however it works, spending time in your presence gives us the power, and it gives us the calmness, and gives us the ability to face some of the difficulties that we're facing. And Lord, perhaps tonight there are some believers here who would have to acknowledge that they're not dealing with some of the things well in their life because they're not coming before you regularly. And Lord, as we've painted this picture of Jesus Christ, I pray that you'll convict our hearts. Lord, help us to be willing and help us to be determined to set aside time so that we can talk with you and we can have the confidence that you've heard us and that you'll continue to hear us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.